Are you willing for me to put you in the dire circumstance where only a bona fide miracle will get you out? Ooh, Lord, you know, I got to tell you something. The church that I go to, we work really hard on being, well, comfortable and not crowded. Lord, may the supernatural flow through Washoe County and through these Truckee Meadows by people of God who believe that miracles can happen and that they do happen. And here's the hard part. And Lord, would you move supernaturally through me? Careful now. Because if it's going to be supernatural, he might have to make it such a challenge that on the other side, you can't say, oh, I was smart about that one. It was my wisdom. It was my resources or accoutrements. Nope. It's got to be dire enough that when you come out on the other side, you're all, did you see that? And he took her by the hand. The girl arose. And then look at this. The report of this went out through all of the land. Verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, now we're going to get another miracle. Our title this morning is Change the Voices. Here's the second part of our message today. Check out these two blind guys. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, if they're blind, that means that they cannot what? They cannot see. So how is it that they came to the Lord asking for this supernatural move in their life? They hadn't seen anything miraculous. They only... And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Do you see the model here? And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they answered, yes, Lord. They believed not because they saw. They believed because of what they heard. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows that. Why do you think Jesus would tell people, okay, don't say anything about the supernatural that just was an atom bomb in your life. Don't say anything about that. Why do you think? Some postulation is that his notoriety was growing. His fame was expanding. And it could be that he couldn't manage the crowds. I think that could be part of it. I like what one commentator said. Because his fame was growing, there was a growing movement to kill him. And people who were complete followers of Jesus after miracles like that, they might be in danger too. But anyway, verse 31, and when they had departed, of course they couldn't keep their mouth closed, they spread the news about him in all of that country. What's another way to say good news in Greek? You say the gospel. Do you see the picture here as well? When you have your bona fide miracle, other people, they just notice. Maybe it started out that they didn't say a word. How you doing, Ralph? Oh, pretty good. Pass me the salt. And he grabbed the salt and salted and ate. And the guy goes, whoa, 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 Ralph. Can you see? Yeah. How? Let me tell you. The gospel. When God does a miracle in us, it spreads. Verse 32. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. We've talked about this before. I don't know what your theology and background is. The Bible doesn't say he had a significant personality disorder. It doesn't make the claim that he was off of his, I don't know, medication for bipolar. It doesn't say any of that. It says that this particular person was, in fact, consumed by a malevolent spirit, specifically a former angel who had fallen because of his rebellion and listening to Lucifer. Fallen angels, the Bible is very clear, fallen angels mess with, they tweak in the affairs of humankind. What is their purpose? To subtly take someone off of the path of salvation, healing, and wholeness, and down some other path that promises satiation, fullness, and contentment, but only delivers death. He was a man mute, and evidently it was the demonic force, the entity, that was keeping his words from being expressed. Remember the first part of our message title? Change the voices. But you can't stop there, because you have to use his words. Verse 33. And when the demon was cast out, the mute, what, everybody? And let me just sort of postulate, what are some of the sentiments he might have spoken? What do you think? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That man is the Messiah. You got to change the voices, loved one. You got to use his words. You got to change the voices, loved one. You've got to use his words. Verse 34. And of course, everybody thought that was really cool. Most of them did. Check out the Pharisees, verse 34. But the Pharisees said, oh, I know. See, they can't deny that the supernatural had happened. And they can't deny that a demon, which that culture was quite familiar with, a demon-possessed person, was not that unusual. So obviously we have a significant show of power, and the demon listened to Jesus. Yeah. How are we going to figure that one out in our religious brain? Because we're starting from this very important assumption. That dude's no Messiah. And once we start there, yeah, how do we explain this? I got it. He casts out demons because he's the ruler of demons. He's Satan himself. Oh, my goodness. It can happen. Confronted with the supernatural, determined to refuse that Jesus is God, they gave credit to the devil. I wrote in my margin, old voices always try to reestablish themselves. Verse 35, we're almost done. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, boys, here's why we do what we do. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are what, everybody? Why is that? How many people are getting healed in this region? How many? Everybody. And even after these significant supernatural displays, why aren't there just hordes and hordes of people that want to follow Jesus? That's just how it goes. As a basic rule, humans, when confronted with the supernatural, tend to go, ooh, wow. But most of us do not want to change what we're doing. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are what, everybody? Oh, Lord Jesus, may I be a laborer. Verse 38. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And every time you feel that unction, maybe it's with a coworker, maybe it's a workout partner at the gym, maybe it's fellow students at the university you go to, maybe it's people even in your own family. You feel that little, go on. When they say, man, my marriage. They say, oy, my finances. They say, oh, you wouldn't believe what the boss is doing these days. Grump, 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 grump. They're weary. They're scattered. They've been bumping around trying to get connected to a flow of life and living, of understanding that will change their circumstances. They're like a sheep without a shepherd. And whenever you feel that the Lord's sort of going, tell them about the good shepherd. Well, I don't speak good enough, good or better. I'm no Billy Graham. Doesn't matter. You know what one of the most powerful witnessing tools you have in your life? It's your story. I wonder if they grilled the blind man about their theological understanding. Dude, you're not blind anymore. How? Jesus. You know who I think one of the most compelling evangelists of all time was? John the Baptist? Yep, he was a good one. Peter, James, and John? Yep, they were certainly significant. But you know who my candidate is for the greatest, most powerful witness who ever lived? Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. What do you mean? Because as he goes into Jerusalem on the triumphal entry and ultimately inside the temple itself and throwing out the money changers, who is standing right next to him? Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead a day or so in front of that. And the Bible says at one point, the Pharisees are sort of looking at Jesus there in Bethsaida. And Jesus is eating at the table. And they were plotting to kill him. But then who's sitting at the other end of the table? Lazarus. Ooh, that Jesus, we just don't buy anything that he says. And then you look at the end of the table. What's up, Lazarus? One of the greatest evangelists, I believe, greatest missionaries who ever existed was Lazarus. Why? Because he was a great theologian? Because he's not dead anymore. You have a little bit of that Lazarus stuff in you as well. Here's who I was. Here's who I am. And then remember that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit in you and working all around you is bringing conviction to their heart, knocking on the door of their heart. And whenever we step out and talk about the Good Shepherd, you are an answer to verse 38. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Loved one, your painful divorce, your broken childhood, cancer, fired from your job. Maybe like Jairus, everything was going fine, and suddenly, my daughter is gone. Why did Jesus allow that to happen? The answer is not to break you. The biblical principle is this: so that Jesus Christ can move supernaturally through you and your situation. You did that because you changed the voices and you're now speaking his words. I told you we were done, but can you go with me one more place to Philippians? Then we'll be finished with this. I promise. Philippians chapter 4. One of the wonderful opportunities that I have in ministry as being a vocational or full-time pastor is not only do I have the good occasion to study the Bible, and I enjoy doing that, but one of the things I enjoy also is sitting with folks and counseling and listening to their stories. And over the last 30 plus years of ministry in this town, I've heard all kinds of stories. And usually one theme seems to move through them all. My situation is unmanageable and I can't find how to get out. Whether it's the aholisms of substance abuse, or marriage problems? You guys, I've heard some whoppers over the years. I really have. Pastor Steve, when they tell me this story, they spin this unimaginable yarn of woe and suffering. Then they look at me as if I have their answer. Is there any hope? You know what I always tell them? Yes. If the creator of the heavens and the earth can look into the nothingness that was nothing. I'm talking no dark matter, no matter, no electrons, no string theory, 10 plus dimensions. Before any of that, there was nothing. And he speaks a word, let there be light. And the nothingness spoke back and said, nice try, Lord, but we're nothing, remember? It didn't matter what the creation thought. God's word spoke, and there was light. And if God can speak into the nothingness that was nothing, and with a word create stars and planets, time, matter, and space, do you think it's beyond his ability to speak something into the nothingness, quote unquote, of your marital situation? What's the answer? Ooh, I need to hear a little stronger than that, you guys. What's the answer? And loved one, I'm telling you something. Wife who can't imagine herself one more minute with this man. And maybe even your own fellow sisters, either through Facebook or your prayer group, are saying, he did what? You need to divorce that guy. Or brother, you can't imagine yourself one more moment with this woman. Please remember Philippians chapter 4. Let's start with verse 6. Be anxious for what, everybody? But in how many things, everybody? In everything by prayer, supplication, and look at this. If you don't have this highlighted, you really should. With what, everybody? Thanksgiving changes the voices. Oh, this life that I have. God says, before you come with the supplication, the laundry list, tell me about the good things that are happening. Oh, my life, Lord. Change the voices. Thank God for the blessings that he has given you. And he's given you a ton. 6:30 a.m. this morning, I made a phone call to a brother who has sat in the sanctuary. And he's fighting for his life now. He may not make it through the day. You're not there. Can I get an amen on that one? And I know that in this room, there's some significant challenges. I don't mean to diminish. What I want to say is you got to change the voices. Prayer supplication with what? Thanksgiving changes the voices. Praise God for all that you have given me. Let your request be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which passes, what, everybody? All understanding. You don't know why you should be feeling peace, but you do. Why? Because you changed the voices, and you're speaking his words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Call to me, and I will answer you. You want me to keep going? Lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will guide your steps. You've changed the voices, and you're speaking his word. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You've got to change the voices. Here's the new voices. You ready? Verse 8. Finally, my brother, finally, my sister, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, what's the honorable thing? What's the godly thing? Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, what's the next word, you guys? Meditate. Fascinating Greek word. How many of you have seen cows in the field? If their head isn't down, munching and mowing the lawn, their head is up, but their jaws are always moving. Because what are they doing? They're chewing that, what they call the cud. I was raised in Anderson, California, and we would drive past pasture after pasture after pasture. And if they weren't head down mowing the grass, they're at the fence looking at the cars going by. What in the world is that cow thinking about? I don't know what cows think about. This is the word, meditate. You get into God's word. You're changing the voices because what you're doing is you're using His words. Word worship, prayer, fellowship every day, loved one. You're in the Word every day, and then you chew on it like the cow chews the cud over and over. And even if it's a couple verses that only immediately come to mind. For God so loved me that He gave. He gave not because I earned it. He gave not because I'm a nice guy. He gave because He what, everybody? He loved. Chew on these things. Now, as you think about your impossible situation, does it fit in? Is there truth? Nobility? Is there just? Is there pure? Is there lovely, good report? Are you chewing on that stuff or are you chewing on this stuff? Because great is the harvest. And when God wakes you and I up and He opens our blind eyes and loosens our one-time still tongue, the harvest happens. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah, Lord. Where's the supernatural? We've been asking, Lord. It's going to be important because in chapter 10, starting next week, He's going to send out the disciples. What did He equip them with? He equipped them with His word. He equipped them with everything they saw Him do. He has changed their voices. And He has given them His words. And watch what happens when 12 teenagers are armed with those things. Lord, in this room today are some pretty special people. The enemy has been working overtime in the hearts and lives of many, trying to get their gaze off of a living God and onto their own situation. So finally, that's all it is that they can see. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, be the lifter of our heads here this morning. Let us put the old voices out that Jesus can come in. In Jesus' name. And all of the harvesters said, Amen.